Good morning and welcome to the Acromegaly Update for Monday, June 29th, 2026. Today's episode has two parts. First, we have a significant long-term clinical update on paltusotine, the oral acromegaly pill, and then we'll zoom out to cover a turbulent and eventful week in the wider rare disease industry. Let's start with the science. Segment 1. Acromegaly Research. This week brought a meaningful data release for anyone tracking the oral acromegaly treatment space. Researchers published interim results from Acrobat Advance, an ongoing open-label extension study evaluating paltusotine, the once-daily oral pill approved for acromegaly, over a period of up to 4 years. The paper appeared in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism, authored by Monica Gadella and colleagues across several international sites. If you need a quick refresher, paltusotine is a non-peptide somatostatin receptor type 2 agonist, the first in its class to come in pill form. Until paltusotine arrived, patients with acromegaly who needed drug therapy were almost universally on injections, typically long-acting formulations of octreotide or lanreotide given monthly, or in some cases, pasireotide. The Acrobat Advance extension enrolled patients who had completed an earlier phase 2 study called Acrobat Edge, where patients were switched from those injected regimens to paltusotine. The key finding from this interim report, biochemical control held up over 4 years. Patients who were responding to paltusotine continued to show controlled IGF-1 and growth hormone levels across the extended follow-up, and the safety profile remained consistent with what was seen in shorter, earlier trials. No new or unexpected safety signals emerged. Gastrointestinal side effects remained the main tolerability issue, as seen before. Now, why does this matter? Acromegaly is a lifelong disease. Once patients are diagnosed and surgical options have been exhausted or aren't appropriate, they're typically on drug therapy for years or decades. The promise of an oral drug has always been about quality of life, eliminating monthly injection visits and the discomfort that comes with them. But the counter-argument has always been, we don't know how long the oral option holds up. This 4-year extension report starts to answer that question, and so far the answer is encouraging. Patients who responded in the short term appear to maintain that response over the longer term. That's exactly the durability signal this field needed to see. What's still to be answered? Most of the patients in this study had already achieved biochemical control on injections before switching to paltusotine. We don't yet have strong data on using it as a first-line option in treatment-naive patients, or in patients whose IGF-1 is harder to control. Those are the next frontiers. That's it for this week's Acromegaly Research, one strong, clinically meaningful paper. Now, zooming out from acromegaly to the wider rare disease industry. Segment 2, Rare Disease Industry News. It was a genuinely busy week in rare disease biotech, with 3 stories worth your attention. The first is the biggest. Sangamo Therapeutics filed for bankruptcy. Sangamo has been one of the longest-running names in gene editing. They pioneered a technology called zinc finger nucleases, which was for years considered among the most precise ways to make targeted edits to the human genome. But despite 2+ decades of work and multiple pivots, from sickle cell disease to hemophilia to rare metabolic diseases, Sangamo never brought a single product to market. The company restructured, lost major partnerships, and consistently struggled to translate its platform into approved medicines. This week, Sangamo announced it will sell its assets in a court-supervised bankruptcy auction. 2 companies have stepped up as lead bidders. Eli Lilly will acquire Sangamo's gene-editing intellectual property and an experimental treatment for prion disease, a rare and devastating brain disorder with no approved therapies. Astellas Pharma will acquire ST-920, Sangamo's gene therapy for Fabry disease, which is a rare inherited metabolic condition and one of Sangamo's most clinically advanced programs. The auction will also include other Sangamo assets, including cell therapies and programs in chronic pain and hemophilia A. This is a significant moment for the rare disease gene therapy space, a cautionary tale about what happens when a company's technology platform outpaces its commercial execution, but also a reminder that the underlying science can find new homes. Astellas inheriting the Fabry disease gene therapy is particularly worth watching. That program was actually approaching regulatory submission, and it may still get to patients despite its original developer's collapse. The second story involves a company called Serapha Bio, which launched this week with $230 million in funding. Serapha is developing a gene editing treatment for AATD, that stands for alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency, a rare inherited disease that damages both the liver and the lungs over time. There are no approved curative treatments for AATD today. Serapha raised $138 million in a Series A from RA Capital Management and RTW Investments and secured an additional $92 million through a reverse merger with Boundless Bio, a cancer-focused biotech that had stumbled with its prior programs. The underlying gene editing therapy Serapha will develop was licensed from a Shanghai-based company called Yoltech Therapeutics, and it's already in an early investigator-initiated trial in China. Serapha enters a competitive field. Beam Therapeutics has been developing a base editing approach for AATD that's in more advanced clinical stages. But $230 million is serious capital, and it signals that investors still believe AATD is a valuable target for a one-time genetic cure. The third story is a more forward-looking one. Merck KGaA, the German life sciences company, not Merck in the United States, teamed up with Versant Ventures, a prominent biotech-focused venture firm, to launch a new startup called Saturnus Bio. Saturnus will focus on rare genetic heart diseases, specifically what's called rare monogenetic cardiomyopathies, where a mutation in a single gene drives a serious, often progressive heart condition. Merck KGaA is putting up $50 million in initial funding, and in exchange, they hold a pre-negotiated exclusive option to acquire Saturnus if the science progresses. This kind of arrangement, called a build-to-buy deal, has become increasingly common in rare disease. Large pharmaceutical companies want exposure to early-stage rare disease science, but they don't necessarily want to own it prematurely. By funding an independent startup with a fixed acquisition option, they get the upside without fully absorbing the early stage risk. Watch for this model to continue proliferating across rare disease development. Closing thoughts. Looking across both segments this week, there's a thread that connects them. Whether it's paltusotine proving out long-term oral control for acromegaly, Sangamo's assets finding new owners who might finally bring a Fabry gene therapy across the finish line, or Serapha Bio entering the AATD space with serious capital, the rare disease field is increasingly focused on the question of durability and execution. Good science isn't enough. Companies and programs need to demonstrate staying power. Whether that's biochemical control sustained over 4 years in an acromegaly trial or a commercial strategy robust enough to actually get a rare disease gene therapy to patients. That's the bar, and it's getting clearer every week. Thanks for listening to the Acromegaly Update. We'll be back with more next week.